Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Go ahead, lounge around in bed with a good magazine. We'll even read it to you. This is Sportsnet Magazine Live on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hey, happy Saturday to you. This is Sportsnet Magazine Live on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Ben Ennis alongside Garrett Joyce and John Gregg with you for the next couple of hours. Then I will take you until 12:30. Blue Jays baseball getting set for game two of their three-game set against the Rangers. We will get to the Blue Jays in the second hour of this fine program. We'll also talk about the NBA draft. But we're going to go balls to the wall. First hour here talking NHL draft. I should have told you we were going to do that before, Gare. I know it sounds painful, but it won't be. At least try to keep it as painless as possible. So the first two picks, anticlimactic. We all knew what was going down there, and that's not a surprise. But then things really started to take shape. Pick number three, and a lot of movement, especially for the Toronto Maple Leafs. So Dylan Strome goes three to the Coyotes, which... there's a lot of diverging opinions on his ability as a centerman in the National Hockey League. And I don't even know if Maple Leafs would have taken him at four. I was kind of expecting them to take a defenseman. The tea leaves, in my opinion, were headed in that direction. Shows you how much I know. They take Mitch Marner, who's like 4'5" and 60 pounds. But he can score, Gare.
He can score. I was going to say he could ride in the seventh race at Woodbine.
Yes, he could.
But I've said all along that I thought he was the third most skilled player, and probably the second most puck skilled player in this draft. So I thought Phoenix was going with Marner. I'm one of those who diverge. I think that Strome skating will hold him back somewhat. And I know some scouts who had him at 8 and 9 on their lists, thinking that he has second line upside. So I'm encouraged by what the Leafs did with that pick.
Yeah, I mean, the story Thursday, kind of Friday morning, was Phoenix taking Marner and trying to create their own triplets line, right? And reuniting him with Max Domi and Christian Dvorak.
Right.
But I mean, the Leafs are getting Mitch Marner. I mean, you're getting the second most dynamic player in the best feeder league in the world. There's nobody can argue with that pick, I don't think. I mean, unless you really wanted the defenseman, but I mean, you've got Morgan Rielly, you've got Jake Gardner. What you don't have is skill up front, and what you're going to be moving is skill up front, hopefully, if you're a Leafs fan. So you're kind of replacing that kind of guy, right?
I look at Marner, and I think the comparable for me is Patrick Kane. I think that he compares at I'm not saying, you know, he's going to move into the league next year. He's going to have an impact like Patrick Kane did. Patrick Kane was a late birthday. So, I mean, the transition was a little different for him and had world junior experience. But in terms of the player that they are at the major junior level, I think Kane and Marner are sort of in the same bracket.
I think Leafs fans would take a Patrick Kane on their team, right?
I guess that's okay
thing to have.
Marner's got a little attitude, too. Maybe not as much as Kane. And maybe it's a somewhat different attitude, but he is anything but a shrinking violet.
And that's not surprising for a guy who's probably faced criticism about his size and everything his entire life, right? I mean, he was drafted into the O at like 5'4".
Yeah.
And, you know, now if he might be 5'11", I mean, that's a lot to grow in just a couple years. But,
He is just
18, but I mean... I'm not surprised that a kid like that is full of confidence and you know, has some swagger.
I thought the one thing, you know, the talk about Leafs taking Strome if he was there, I thought Strome wouldn't be able to handle the heat in the media kitchen in Toronto. Like, yeah. I just his makeup. He's a great kid. He's really funny to be around. He's a little young for his age. And I thought that might be an issue with him.
But if you were the Leafs, right? I mean, can you, who haven't had a number one center since Matt Sundin, can you pass up on Ryan Strome? I don't know that you do. Dylan Strome. My first name's today. But I don't know that you do because you still don't have that center, right? I mean, Marner's probably not your number one center. He's not your prototypical big number one center, at least.
Mm-mm. But, you know, is Tyler Johnson?
Well, no, but is he your number one center or is it Steven Stamkos?
He was number one center in the final, really.
Fair.
You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, a lot of teams would settle for Tyler Johnson as their number one center.
Yeah, and the Maple Leafs, I'm sure, think they have something in Mitch Marner, whether he's a number one center or not. And I guess the size thing, I mean, we can joke about it, but I feel like the NHL now, ever since the lockout, it's seemingly not an issue, right? Like, where, and maybe it's a regime thing, but they took William Nylander. They're moving away from, you know, guys need to be big. They need to have a physical element to their game.
I think you still defer to size,
yeah,
if it's there.
If it's
but
like
you don't shy away
or
from the small skilled guy as much anymore.
What about the fact that he's a local kid, right, from the GTA, and said as much in his interview on Sportsnet yesterday that this is a dream come true, John. And we talked about Strome maybe not being able to handle the media spotlight of Toronto. I don't know much about the mental makeup of Mitch Marner, but I imagine for a kid who grew up a Leaf fan, grew up in this area, and this is a dream come true for him, he's going to put a ton of pressure on himself. Not like he wouldn't put a ton of pressure on himself if he was in Arizona or wherever, but it's going to be a different kettle of fish for him.
Well, yeah, man. I mean, it's bright lights, big city here. There's going to, your number four pick overall, there's going to be pressure for him to make this team next year, which I don't think is realistic, but that's what people are going to be screaming for. And as soon as he steps onto that Leaf ice, people are going to expect points. And, you know, not to say that he can't do it. And you know, from all accounts, from what Garrett's saying, that, you know, he is a kid who seems like he can handle that kind of pressure. But, you know, nobody knows the pressure that you face in Toronto until you actually get here and there's 15 reporters and four cameras in your face every single day.
Yeah, it's a scene, man. And we've seen guys from this area fail. And I know David Clarkson's the poster boy for that, but yeah, it's a different scenario. I think when you're talking about David Clarkson and Mitch Marner, I would hope at least. Also, there's the London Night connection thing where Mark Hunter's running this draft, right? And it's easy to point to Marner and look at Hunter and say, well, of course Mark Hunter's going to take the London Night. He knows him well, and he believes in that system in London, and he wants to add him to the franchise he's currently working for. And maybe there's a bias there, Gare. Are you buying into that?
No, not really. I think that having worked in London, Mark Hunter would know if there were any red flags, any issues. You know, I think that would be a factor. You could probably read more into the fact that Mark Hunter, if Mark Hunter and the Leafs had opted not to take him, that might be something more. But my understanding was that Mark Hunter was sort of skeptical about Marner when he joined the organization, and Marner won him over. So the Knights organization. So the idea of Mark Hunter just moving the Knights down the 401 to Toronto, I don't think is operative.
Although it might not be so bad because they've been a pretty good OHL franchise for a while.
Wait till next year. They're going to be great again.
Yeah. All right. So the Leafs had the fourth overall pick. They also did a pretty good job in picking up a second first-round pick from the Predators in that deal, the Cody Franzen deal and Mike Santorelli deal. But then they turned that 24 into a 29 and a 61 from the Flyers. Then they sent that 29 for 34 and 68. So you compute all the numbers, the Leafs have 9 picks today. They have a whole bunch of picks after the first round. They only end up with 1 first round pick, but they will pick 34. So I guess 4th pick of the second round. What do we make of this? Because the overriding sentiment, at least on Twitter, from a lot of people, is this is a deep draft, and as many picks as you can get in a deep draft, you're doing a pretty good job. But, Gare, I get a sense that you disagree with that.
Yeah, I think that that's overblown. When people talk about a deep draft, you know, is a deep draft, there's really 14 as a, you know, there's 16 as opposed to 13 elite players. You know, it's not like this year there's 60, you know, NHL five-star prospects as opposed to 45 most years. I don't think it really operate. Once you get to 60, I think 1 year is pretty much like another.
Well, here's where that 34th pick just came into play, because the Leafs just made that pick.
Oh.
And they picked Trevor Dermott, the defenseman out of Erie. I don't know about that myself.
No.
I mean, it's not like the Erie Otters were lauded for their blue line this year. To me, that's a bit of a weird pick. What do you know about that guy, Gare?
I don't see it at all.
Yeah.
Like, I really don't. Now, when you're talking about comparing 24 to 34, I mean, that's a big diff to me.
Yeah, there is the second round is ongoing right now. So the fourth pick just taking place, as you guys just mentioned. Jeremy Roy, or Wah, defenseman out of the Q, Sherbrooke, went to the Sharks at 31. 32, Christian Fisher, American winger, played in the USHL. He went 32nd to the Coyotes. Lightning picking up Mitchell Stevens, centerman from the Saginaw Spirit, went third in the second round. So we'll keep an eye on that. Maple Leafs with a big day today. They will pick again in the second round, 61st overall. But
I was going to say, when we were off air talking about who the Leafs might have taken at 24, and Roy was one that I mentioned.
Yeah.
So yeah, Travis Dermott, the newest Toronto Maple Leaf defenseman for the Erie Otters. Okay, we'll move on. There's so much to get to here, and we only have an hour that we got to get to the Blue Jays. There's a lot of sports to get to, but I don't want to leave the Maple Leafs without talking about the fact that Dion Phaneuf and Phil Kessel are still on this team. And John, there was speculation, there was rumor, there was innuendo that the Penguins were in on Phil Kessel. Not so much. We haven't heard so much on Dion Phaneuf, but there was definitely a possibility that both of those guys would be moved yesterday. Still a possibility they could be moved before the draft is over. I'm maybe somewhat surprised that there's still Toronto Maple Leafs. Are you?
I'm not surprised. I mean, I think it kind of takes a little bit of the air out of the balloon in the city. I think everybody was kind of looking forward to seeing what kind of action you could get for those guys. I mean, yeah, the rumors yesterday were Kessel to Pittsburgh, where he would likely score 60 goals next year playing with Sidney Crosby.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to assume that that would mean young defensemen coming back to the Leafs, which they could use for sure. As far as Phaneuf, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he is around.
Yeah.
Detroit was interested in him last year at the deadline, and Babcock would have had a big say in that.
And wearing the C next year?
It's tough to take the C off a guy who's still there. It's happened, obviously, in San Jose. It happened in Dallas years back. It doesn't happen very often, and I don't know what it would mean. But if Kessel's not there, and that kind of teaches everybody in the room a lesson about what you got to be a Maple Leaf now, then maybe it works out okay.
I think they'll probably just start sewing a smaller C.
Yeah,
on,
they're going to shrink
sweater,
it.
You know, and it'll
lower
just
case
be incremental. I think, you know, when we hear a rumor like the Kessel to Pittsburgh rumor, you know, you look at what the Leafs have done since Shanahan's come aboard, and inevitably when something big happens, we hadn't heard about it before, or we had heard absolutely different.
Yeah.
It's like Brendan Shanahan pulled down the curtains, put up tinfoil, you know, like
is good, right? I mean, it's bad for us, but it's good when you see a franchise do that. Doesn't that make sense?
Well, I guess. I mean, it makes sense to them.
Right.
You know, I mean, really, I don't know if it's good, bad, or indifferent for getting business done, but that's the way that they do business. And, you know, I don't know that anything's compromised by having a little more openness, but, you know, as soon as I hear a rumor about Kessel going to Pittsburgh, I'm almost more inclined to stroke that off my list of things that, that could happen.
Yeah. I mean, how would Pittsburgh even fit Kessel on their cap, right? I mean, that's an, that would be their fourth guy in the 7 million plus range. So that would be tough to do. And you're right, Gare, as long as 29 other NHL teams know that people are on the block and things are happening and we're taking calls, then that's good. Nobody else, no, the media doesn't need to know. There doesn't need to be any leaks. I mean, that's business, right?
Yeah. No, and I guess the downside of it would be if someone's name is floating out there and they're at all thin-skinned, you know, and they're going to be sticking around, you know, that's problematic.
Yeah, and we've seen that in this city before for sure.
Yeah, that's why it makes sense, at least to me, to put the tinfoil down. Just no tinfoil on your head. Number 35, Carolina Hurricanes selecting Sebastian Aho out of Finland.
Which one? Who? There's two.
Really?
Yeah, there's two Sebastian Ahos.
Aho.
Yeah.
Aho.
Make sure you pronounce
He's
that
an
correctly.
Really?
Yeah. There's two.
This is the guy from Carpat.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, he's 5'11".
They should draft them both if they can. That would be great.
Yeah, that would be confusing. Yeah, what would you put on the jersey? Because usually guys have the same last name. You put like the first initial, but if they're actually both some, I don't know what you would. That would be interesting. I hope they do that. All right. So Maple Leafs were making moves, and they were an interesting subject yesterday. I think the biggest, I don't know, head scratcher, biggest storyline out of yesterday with the Boston Bruins and their new GM, Don Sweeney. They went berserk with their moves, trading Milan Lucic to the Los Angeles Kings for the 13th pick, goalie Martin Jones, and prospect Colin Miller. We'll talk about the Dougie Hamilton trade in just a second as well, but let's start with Lucic. Right time to trade Lucic, too late, too early. Where do you land on that, John?
I think it's the perfect timing. I think you've got a guy who's like 27 years old. He's played already 8 years in the league, and it's been eight hard years with lots of playoff games, and, you know, he's a physical player. To me, you're getting him out just while he's still got enough value left to get you back, you know, a mid-first-round pick and a goalie, another chip that they can play. So for me, it's the right time. And I mean, he's been fading a little bit. He's been running into injury problems. And I think, you know, that was a good move. The other one, not so much.
I think if you miss the playoffs, then it's a year late.
Yeah.
But it probably beats doing it next year.
But they wouldn't have made the playoffs without him last year.
No,
right?
But I think the gloss had come off him a bit this year as well.
Fair enough.
You know, that his stock would have been higher if you're out shopping him last summer.
I wouldn't want to be Don Sweeney in Boston today. I mean, you've traded, you know, the guy who's kind of the heart and soul, typical Boston Bruin, historically type of guy, and now your best young defenseman, right? I mean, it's can't be good.
Well, let's talk about Dougie Hamilton to Calgary for number 15 and two second rounders as well. He's an RFA. And Claude Julien, some interesting comments post-trade. As a coach, to be honest with you, I find it very unfortunate that players that have played maybe 3 years in the league, all of a sudden they're looking to be up there with the top paid players. Okay, that's fine, but the market is going to dictate what a guy is worth. And if you're suggesting that Dougie Hamilton should take less because he's only been in the league for 3 years, I don't know if that makes sense. Does this move make sense for the Boston Bruins there, Gare?
I love Calgary's side of it. Yeah. You know, the Bruins culture, even I know that it's a different GM, but to me, it almost feels like there's a consistency. You know, they love carving up their young players. You know, it was Kessel way back, but you know, with Sagan and now Hamilton, it's like, see you later. Like, we didn't love you anyways.
You know, I mean, the kid played more than 21 minutes a game last year, and Chara was out for long stretches. He led their defense corps in scoring. He's a ninth overall pick 4 years ago. He's 6'5", 220-some-odd pounds. I mean, He's exactly what, like, every team in this league should want. And, yeah, sure, maybe he looks at it and says, I'm worth this, and the boss and Boston doesn't agree. But just by the way that they his usage last year, it shows me that Claude Julien kind of does agree, even if he won't say it publicly.
You know, he's perfect. Now he's perfectly positioned to thrive, you know, with Giordano and Brody.
Oh,
right? Like,
yeah.
You're not asking him to carry the team
yep.
the way that, like, when Chara is out. And when the Bruins are going through a spate of injuries, you know, you were asking an awful lot of a young D, and who's, to my mind, he's still emerging, still developing.
For sure, for sure.
There's so much happening right now, guys. It's hard to keep track of it. But the Senators have moved up to 36, take the Devils pick. They took Gabriel Gagne. Also, looks like the Ducks are going to send James Wisniewski to Carolina for Hoboden. So a lot going down. I know it's, you know, we're all just hearing this right now, but...
it's mayhem.
It is mayhem.
The second round is always more mayhemic than...
Well, first round was pretty mayhemic as well.
Well, earlier in the day, but not so much.
All right.
Like,
we didn't see the big names move, right?
Right,
yeah. And we didn't see any of the top picks move. So the Bruins get those three straight picks, 13 to 15, and Gary Bettman wouldn't let them make them all at the same time, which is kind of mean. I wanted to see them rattle off three names there. But they didn't take Matthew Barzal, which was an interesting one. Gare, again, like I get a lot of my understanding the general sentiment among hockey fans from Twitter, and I don't know a ton about him, but I've heard big things, and maybe the talent there was top 10 talent. They didn't take him. They had three shots at him, 13 through 15. They didn't take Barzal. Were you surprised by that?
I was surprised by that. Not that it was the Bruins specifically, but, you know, I had Barzal, like, as a top 10 player. Certainly a top 15 player. I could not see him getting through the Bruins taking three picks there. I know Barzal pretty well. I was out with the Seattle Thunderbirds this year. I was actually there when he did his knee up in Saskatoon after riding the bus all the way from Seattle to Saskatoon. Very skilled center, was the first pick in the WHL draft. Not big. He's under 6 feet, but pretty solid. Great vision. I know that the criticism of Barzal was that he played the game on the outside a little too much of a perimeter player. But he was their best at the under 18s. I thought that any damage that had been done to his stock through injury, through missing time, I thought he'd repaired it and done more than that. I could not have seen him getting through the top 15 picks.
Brandon Carlo, the Bruins' first second round pick, 37th overall defenseman out of the Dub, played for Tri-City. So the
big kid, big yeah, tall kid,
the Bruins adding to that back end that they just depleted a little bit, with Dougie Hamilton. Before we take the break here, Sabres also one of those interesting teams making, some fairly significant moves. They get Jack Eichel and that's going to be great for them. But, they also have a goaltender, Robin Lehner.
Maybe.
And you know what? We'll talk about the Canucks moving Eddie Lackey in the next segment, but maybe they overpaid for Lehner, considering what goalies were going for. But Robin Lehner, David Legwon from the Senators for the number 21 pick overall. They also picked up Ryan O'Reilly and Jamie McGinn from the Avalanche for Nikita Zadorov, Mikhail Grigorenko, JT Compher, and the 31st pick. And John... It's obviously a situation where the Sabres still trying to accumulate as many young players as possible, although Legwon's in there as well. But It's going to be a really intriguing team to watch next year.
Yeah, I mean, all of a sudden, Boston's kind of got a very...
Or Buffalo.
Buffalo has kind of got a very intriguing, as you say, top six. I mean, they're loaded down the middle now. I mean, you got to see Tyler Ennis probably moves to the wing. Ryan O'Reilly, he might be taking draws, but skating up and down one of the, like, the left side. And, you know, assuming Eichel can get his feet under him in the NHL, I mean, he's your number one center, and then... Sam Reinhart is uber skilled, and Evander Kane could score 40 for you. I mean, it's an exciting young group for sure. And don't forget about, you know, Zemgus Girgensons, and there's kind of your third line guy, and David Legwand's your fourth line guy, and he can teach those young centers how to be pros. It's an interesting setup that they've got for themselves there right now.
Yeah, being able to trade Zadorov and Grigorenko and getting O'Reilly back, that's sort of like trading frostbite for an electric blanket. it is.
Which is a move you got to do 10 times out of 10.
Absolutely.
11 times out of 10.
That's right.
Yeah.
I don't know what the analytics are on that, but I thought that Buffalo would be sort of a year away from the position that they might find themselves in October or midseason. I think that it's a makeover that's moved a little faster than would have been projected. I'm in that camp that thinks that they overpaid for Lehner. And I'm not really sure. I'm not sure about him as a number one goaltender on a playoff team. I'm just not sold.
And that's what it's going to all come down to for Buffalo is, can he be that guy? Can he be a better than replacement level goaltender and kind of stabilize that position for them? Which, you know, obviously last year, anytime somebody started winning games, Tim Murray would trade them away. But
yes.
Are you sold on him even being a replacement level?
Well,
I wonder what a 15th goaltender in the league.
He's been a guy who's always had an ego, right? And always thought he should be a number one goaltender. And I wonder if you give him the gig, can he run with it? Does he have that kind of makeup where he's like, all right, there's no pressure. I'm not going to lose my job to Craig Anderson. The Hamburglar's not going to come in and take away my minutes. You know, this is my job now, my team. Can he run with it? And that's the biggest question. If he can, then for the 21st pick, you're laughing. And if he can't, then you're thinking what could have been.
All the talk about, you know, if anyone knows him, Tim Murray knows him, you know, given his experience in Ottawa. And my question is, can you know him too much?
Yeah.
Right?
Can you own this one too much?
I wonder if they look at what Eddie Lack went for today, this morning at like 5 o'clock
Buyer's
Pacific
remorse.
Time, right?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, a third and a seventh?
Yeah.
Oh, and you just gave up the 21st?
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy. I don't know what...
You did get Legwand. I mean, it's not just...
Yeah, but Legwand is like you're taking the salary, basically, and you don't even really need him other than you like to have kind of a veteran presence. But what's Vancouver thinking? I don't understand what the pressure is to trade Eddie Lack right now.
Yeah.
And especially for... I mean, you don't even get into the second round, so you can't even kind of replace him on your depth chart with another goalie or find kind of a hidden gem somewhere for you. I just don't get it.
If Buffalo were able to get Lack at that price and even pay a bit more than that and hold on to that first rounder and take Samsonov, who I know that they were really high on, that there would have been a significant push internally for them to take Samsonov. I think that they're better off in the long run than they are, you know, committing to Lehner here.
Oh, I mean, 100%. If you can get Lack over Lehner, you're better off in the long run and the short run. That's my opinion.
Yeah. Well, it's not just getting Lack over Lehner. It's getting Lack and Samson off over Lehner.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a guy who had a save percentage around .920 a year ago in Eddie Lack. So maybe...
Well, he was arguably a better goalie than Ryan Miller.
Arguably.
For a playoff team.
Right.
Right? So... For a third and a seventh, that's not enough for me.
No. We will talk about the Vancouver Canucks, and we'll talk about all six remaining Canadian teams that we haven't got to coming up next as the second round continues. We'll also look at who's been picked so far and maybe some interesting decisions today on day two of the NHL draft. Whole lot more coming up next. I'm Ben Ennis alongside John Gregg and Garrett Joyce. This is Sportsnet Magazine Live on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
With a taste of what's inside the current issue of Sportsnet Magazine, here's Garrett Joyce.
For three seasons, Connor McDavid was the best-known player in major junior hockey. Early in last night's broadcast of the draft, he became property of the Edmonton Oilers. Yep, today is the first day of the rest of his life. But for a stretch of a few weeks, between the end of the OHL season and the NHL draft, Connor McDavid wasn't a junior and he wasn't a pro. He was, pretty basically, an 18-year-old kid. At home with his parents in Newmarket, going to school in the morning, finishing grade 12. More worried about assignments and exams than contract negotiations. These were the last few weeks of Connor McDavid's normal life. Or as he'd say,
as boring as it gets.
But boring in a good way.
Now it's a good time to be at home and lay in bed and, you know, kind of hang out. I think it's good to go back to school.
Maybe it was a little less normal, although probably still pretty boring to have me popping in now and then for 3 weeks. Still, the story that I came away with gives you a sense of the game's next star. A sense that you'd never get talking to him in an arena or in a dressing room after a game. Life is going to get a whole lot less boring from here on.
Story and more can be found in the latest issue of Sportsnet Magazine. Available on Next Issue or by downloading the Sportsnet Magazine app for Apple, Android, and Windows tablets and phones. Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Sportsnet Magazine Live, Sportsnet Radio Network, Ben Ennis alongside Garrett Joyce, John Gregg. Round two continues of the NHL draft, and yes, as you heard on the update, trades fast and furious right now. Ducks trading Emerson Edom in the 41st overall pick to the Rangers for Carl Hagelin, a couple of picks as well. We will keep our eyes and ears peeled on the developing stories. Apparently Cam Talbot could be on his way out of town when it comes to the Rangers. A lot of goalie movement today, as well as the Stars pick up the rights to Antti Niemi, which means there's going to be more goalie movement there. Who knows? Sharks need a goalie, but we got less than 10 minutes here, guys, to talk about the other six Canadian teams that we haven't got to. How about the
all the fans in those cities are like, yep, typical Toronto.
Well, sorry. we're in Toronto. The Oilers... Yeah. I mean, they draft Connor McDavid. That's pretty good addition to their squad, but also
should play.
Yeah, he should be okay. They make a move which is being it's being called a move for the present instead of continually looking towards the future, and Griffin Reinhart for number 16 and a 33 headed back to the Islanders. Is this a guy you like? Can he play right away on their blue line, Gare?
He should.
You better.
Yeah. I had them taking, actually had the Oilers taking a player in that mold, in a Swedish player. I want to say Gabriel Carlson or Larson. Now I'm jammed to remember with all the names floating through here. But I think it's a decent fit. You know, the idea that you're going to get a franchise shaping defenseman at 16 is probably a little wishful. To get someone, I think you can be pretty confident that Reinhart is going to be a top four defenseman. He's not going to help you on the power play at all, but great size. You know, you've got Nurse there. Like, you're starting to get pieces together.
Yeah, I think what they're looking at is now they have their second pair of defensemen for next year in Darnell Nurse and Griffin Reinhart. And, I mean, say what you want about the Islanders and their scouting and whatnot, but let's not forget that a few years ago, Griffin Reinhart went fourth overall. That's a pick ahead of Morgan Riley. That's two picks ahead of Hampus Lindholm and three picks ahead of Matthew Dumba. Those are all guys who are playing in the NHL right now. So, yeah. If Griffin Reinhart is a bit slower to develop, you know, he's only been, I think, in Bridgeport for a year now. I mean, That's a fourth overall pick. You just traded for a 15th and a couple others, right? So, I mean, it's a pretty good trade, I think, for them. It's just, I would have been looking at the goalie Samsonov myself at that point and then trying to do something like, hey, throw an offer sheet down for Dougie Hamilton or
may still happen.
Who knows? Wouldn't that just be delicious? Oh, and then, you know, or go out and make a move and get some NHL guys. But this one seems like it could be a good pick for right now.
Oilers still need a goalie, as you mentioned, still need to add defensemen, even though they have added one. And you mentioned Hamilton. Let's talk about the Flames. We kind of touched on this trade with the Bruins. They pick up the RFA in Dougie Hamilton. They had the surprise of all surprises in the NHL this past season. They've got a lot of young players. They didn't go berserk in thinking that they had a cup contender all of a sudden and adding pieces at the deadline. I mean, the future looks bright there in Calgary again, John.
Yeah, well, they did a great job getting Dougie Hamilton. Assuming nobody can steals him away and assuming they can sign him for a reasonable amount, he's one of the top few young defensemen in the league right now.
You'd have to presume that there's some sort of understanding there sure. when that trade is made.
Yep, I agree. You don't make a trade of that impact and not have spoken to the agent. But I mean,
they would know what the ask was. And
yeah, and he's, you know, Gare, as you've said, he fits right in on that defense core as a second pairing guy. He doesn't have to be the man right away. And that's perfect for a guy who's still developing.
So the Calgary Flames trade out of the first round entirely. They have yet to make a pick yet. They will make their first at 53 overall.
They're just leaving the pool now.
Yeah, that's right. they're applying some sort of aloe vera to their sunburns and getting ready to actually participate in this draft coming up in the next few minutes. The Vancouver Canucks. So we mentioned it briefly in the first segment. Eddie Lack to Carolina for a third and a seventh. They also draft Brock Boeser from the USHL at the 23rd overall selection. It's kind of in the Canucks are kind of in this middle ground, which is not a great place to be, where you're not sure if you're blowing it up, you're not sure if you're looking towards the future, and you're not sure if you're really making a push to win a Stanley Cup. But it seems like, Gare, the return for Eddie Lack is pretty bare bones.
I figured the market for goaltenders would be somewhere between Lack and Lehner.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, the one seems a crazy overpayment. And Lack, I mean, basically it feels like a giveaway. You know, I don't know exactly what the vision in Vancouver is. Now, I say all that. I think Jim Benning, as a GM, I can tell you he's a great scout. As a GM, it's to be determined, I guess. But he was always front and center when people would ask me who the best scouts are in the business. And your first pick in a draft, you know, as much as you have a staff, the first pick in the draft is the GM's, and especially a GM in Benning's mold. So I think that although I wonder, you know, what the vision is with their pick here, I'm not going to second guess Benning too much.
It's just amazing when you look at what the Canucks had in net 2 years ago at this time.
Yeah.
And what they have now, right? And over the hill, Ryan Miller.
Right.
And Jakob Markstrom. And, you know, I haven't done the math or whatever, but what they got out of those goaltenders is basically Bo Horvat and depth players, right?
Yeah.
It's just amazing how they've seemingly screwed that whole thing up in Vancouver.
Yeah, they have.
But Brock Boeser, I think, is a good pick.
Across a couple of managements.
Yeah. No, it just seems like this group didn't learn from the last group in terms of what to do with your glut of goaltending, right? But Brock Boeser led the USHL in goals last year. He's very much in kind of a similar mold to Jake Virdon, who they took with their top pick last year. And you know, they're getting scoring wingers who are kind of big bodied. And those guys they don't fall off trees really in the NHL. So I wouldn't disagree with that pick at 23 either.
The Winnipeg Jets take Kyle Connor at 17, Jack Roslovic at 25. This is a team on the rise, although they did not win a playoff game. They made it to the playoffs, and a lot of young players coming up through that team, John.
Yeah, ton of good guys. I mean, if you're a Jets fan, well, we should all be Jets fans, really. I think
should we?
Yeah, I mean,
today we are all Jets fans.
Yeah, I think Kyle Connor was, you know, Matt Barzell goes right before Kyle Connor is the most dynamic player left, and they picked him up. And with him and Nick Petan of World Junior fame and a guy who's got, you know, 300 and some odd points over the past 3 years in the WHL, they've got a couple of, you know, not your prototypical big centers, but guys who are point scorers down the middle. And with Nick Ehlers and the Halifax Mooseheads, with him coming up, he's a dynamic player, the guy who, you know, he led the QMJHL in playoff scoring and didn't play the final round. And he still led it in scoring. I mean,
you're not sold on him, though, right, Gare?
No.
Ehlers?
I'm not sold on him in terms of readiness to play in the NHL next year.
Yeah.
You know, in physical readiness, in skill set. I mean, he could have played this year.
Yeah, I still don't know what else you do with him. I mean, does he go back to the queue and score 140 points? I mean, in a, you know, second tier feeder league, I just don't know that that does anything for his development.
Yeah. We have like a minute to go before we got to take a break, and we got two teams to get to still. So quickly, the Senators, Robin Leonard is gone. They take Thomas Chabot at 18 from St. John, get Colin White at 21. The Canadians take a Noah Yolson from Everett of the Dub. They're a team, I know they're, you know, they were in the playoffs and they had this historically great season from a goaltender. As far as, you know, almost every other Canadian team, it seems like the future is brighter for those other teams, and maybe not so much for the Canadians, but who knows? And there's still a long off season to go. But those two teams, do we like what they did? Have done so far, at least.
I like Ottawa got great value.
Yeah, I like Colin White for sure. Yeah. I mean, he's, you know, a guy who dropped due to illness and injury kind of thing, but he was projected to go higher, and he's kind of your two-way center, Patrice Bergeron type, with maybe a bit, you know, you kind of, you hope for some offensive upside, but I love it, yeah.
Yeah, you know, to get that value in trade for Lehner, no, almost... It's going to be tough to fail at this draft for the Senators. Yeah. As far as the Habs go, I counted on them to take a defenseman. You know, that's just sort of a fit. You know, they're aging back there. Their talent pool in the organization down at the AHL or on their draft list on D is a little thin at this point after you get by Tenorti.
Yep, drafting by need. Right. Yep. Instead of maybe taking the best player available, they take a guy that they need to fill in their depth chart.
NHL Draft Day 2 continues. We'll keep you updated until we sign off the air. Sportsnet Magazine live until noon. I'll be on until 12:30. Maple Leafs still have another pick to go in this second round. But when we come back, we'll talk about the Blue Jays and their really incredible run of offense. They scored 12 runs yesterday, beating the Rangers 12-2. One of those runs came off a position player, but they're still pretty good. And they've got a rookie in Matt Boyd making his major league debut on the mound today. Lots to talk about Blue Jays-wise. Ben Ennis alongside Gare Joyce, John Gregg. This is Sportsnet Magazine Live on the Sportsnet Radio Network.